The Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. We human beings are prone to distractions. It doesn't take much to move our mind onto something else. We could be focusing on something and all of a sudden something we catch from the side or something we hear and our emphasis changes from what we are thinking about to something else. And then we have to battle and battle to get back to the original thing. Now, what was I just talking about, or what was I just doing? Because we let our mind go off in such another place that we got lost for a minute. It's a very common thing, whether we're driving or sitting quietly reading or talking to someone. It doesn't take much to cause our attention to change. And this is what happened with St. Peter today. A very strange thing. The apostles are in the boat in the Sea of Galilee, heading to the other side. Jesus stayed behind to pray. And he decided to catch up with them the easy way. "We'll just walk on the water." And he walked over, and they didn't know who he was until he announced himself. And then, as usual, St. Peter didn't quite believe what he heard and said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out on the water." And Jesus says, "Come on out." And Peter starts walking on the water, and all of a sudden, sometimes the worst thing we can do is think, you know? And he started thinking, "Boy, it's awful windy out here. You know, the waves are really crashing up." He lost the fact that he was looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden he started worrying about all the stuff around him, and he began to sink. And Jesus had to pick him up. And so, why do you have such little faith? Another way of putting it, why is it so easy for you to be distracted from me? Why is that so easy? But when we look around our lives today, and if we put the whole human race in that boat, it's a pretty stormy seas. Culturally, politically, economically, there's a lot of wind blowing, politically especially, a lot of hot wind blowing. The desert, huh? It's blowing around and it's shaking things up and things are moving and quaking and we don't know what's going on and it's distracting the world from seeing Christ. And when we lose our vision of Christ, we lose everything for us. Because as Christians, we believe he is our true guide, he is our compass, he is the direction. And if we keep him in our sights, we can do great things. We can do ordinary things. We can do holy things because Jesus Christ is front and center. But we have to think about those winds, because we know in our own lives right now, the winds aren't blowing with us. They're not making our job easier. They're blowing against us. And no matter how hard we try, sometimes we don't feel like we're making a lot of progress. But we have to start with something simple, something that St. Peter started with, and that is faith. He started with faith. And faith, we got to know what that means. What does it mean to say I have faith? It means basically this, that you are aware and you recognize and you accept the fact that God created you, God loved you, God died for you on the cross, God has great plans for you in this life and plans for you in heaven. That is faith. You're aware, you recognize, and you accept God's love, God's mercy, God's presence. Right there. And when we think about faith, oftentimes we think about it as jumping off a cliff, or as Kierkegaard says, this leap of faith into nothingness. That's really not what faith is about from the standpoint of Jesus Christ. Because faith isn't moving into darkness. Faith is really moving into the light. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the light. He is reality as we can see it. He is truly all that is, and he shows us that personally. And so moving into faith is to move into reality. And once we live in that light of Christ, once we live with the Lord, we begin to recognize just how dark the world was before we found the light. And the world is a pretty dark place without Jesus Christ. Violence, oppression, murder, injustice, all around us in the world. But the light of Christ says, yes, those things are there, but Christ has conquered them. He continues to conquer them because God's grace is more powerful than any evil that the world can have. That's what faith teaches us. And walking into that light, the Lord calling us out of the boat, calling us out of our own sense of security, and says, trust in me. Accept the love I have for you and return that love with love. And you can do great things. You can walk on water. That's what you can do. And that's what he asks us to do every day. But like St. Peter, we get out, we have that faith, and little things begin to wear us down. We think about how expensive things are. We think about the precariousness of the world situation. We think about the precariousness of our job or our life or the difficulties in our family, and the winds start blowing, they're howling, the thunder's clapping, the lightning's flashing, and all of a sudden, instead of keeping Christ in the center, all the other stuff is getting our attention, and pretty soon we wonder why we're having trouble breathing, because we're over our heads. That's what happens when we lose faith in this world, in Christ. The world comes over our head and it destroys us. It sucks the life out of us. And Peter knew that as he began to sink. What did he do? He went back to his source. He went back to the center. He said, Lord, save me. And Jesus picked him up. And that's what he does for us every day. He picks us up because that wind blows hard. And the struggles come pretty quickly and easily. But the only thing that's going to keep us strong in this life is to keep Christ front and center. Now, how do we do that? If I had a nickel for every time I heard someone saying, young and old, Father, I just don't have time to pray. I hear it all the time. My life is too busy. Things are too complicated. I understand we live in a complicated and busy world. I do too. But if we cut off prayer, it's like cutting off our oxygen. We won't last long. Prayer is our life with God. Prayer keeps us united with him. And so how do we keep this prayer going? Because if we are praying, Christ stays in the middle of our life. And he needs to be there consciously, not just in the back, but consciously there to keep us anchored. How do we do it? By daily prayer. And one of the best prayers we have are our devotions, whether devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the other devotions. But one in particular I find very helpful for me, and one that the church has had for over 1,000 years and still brings back up to us, and many of us are aware of, and that is the Rosary. The rosary is nothing more than this, a meditation on every part of the life of Christ. That's what it is. 20 mysteries. Jesus' birth, Jesus' life on earth, Jesus' passion, Jesus' resurrection and glory. The whole life of Christ is wrapped up in those 20 mysteries. And of course, our traditional rosary is 5 decades. It covers one whole part of the Lord's life. That takes about 20, 25 minutes to say a good rosary. 50 if you got a lead foot. 15, you know. Zoom through. But sometimes that's just too much time. I said, that's fine. Because we can simplify this even more. Where there's a will, there's a way. And we got to figure out a way to keep Christ up there. And so I recommend to people, a decade a day. Just a decade a day. 10 Hail Marys and Our Father and Our Glory Be. The Hail Marys, we pray the prayer of the Annunciation, the prayer that the angel Gabriel gave to the Mother of God. And in the middle of that prayer is the word among all words, Jesus. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. That is the center of the Hail Mary. And then we pray the Lord's Prayer, taught by Jesus himself, in which we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us our daily bread. Help us walk out on that water. And then the glory be, to recognize that above all things, God is to be glorified. He is wondrous. He is magnificent. He is all beautiful. And in that, we praise him for being who he is. And with those three simple prayers, those vocal prayers, help us now to focus on the mystery of Christ. So a decade a day means to take the day and say, this is the mystery of Christ's life I'm going to look at today. We'll look at the Annunciation today. And so we think about the story of the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary, she is to be the Mother of God. What has God announced to you today? What has he announced to you to do? If you're a mother, he announced to take care of your children, to help them get ready, to be patient and understanding with them. If you're a father, what has the Lord asked you to do today? To go work justly and honestly in the workplace, to be a man of prayer, to be a man of conviction and integrity, and seek that holiness. And we look at that. We go, the next day, we look at all of a sudden now the second joyful mystery, the visitation. We think about bringing Christ to others. Who brought me Jesus today? And who am I going to bring the Lord to today and tomorrow? And if we spend time thinking about those things in our work, when we're in the car, when we're at play, when we're at home, you'll begin to see that Christ is staying in the middle. Now that takes practice. Any kind of praying takes practice. You don't get good at it by doing it once. I always say to people, if you do it right once, you're lucky, you're not good. It's like people who go to Vegas and their first day out there at the poker table. Oh, I won $5,000 today. I'm good at poker. Are you really good or are you just lucky? Well, we'll see you go tomorrow. I lost that $5,000. Aha, you were just lucky. You weren't good. You got to keep practicing. Of course, I'd find a cheaper table to practice at. But you got anything we got to practice at every day. And every day our practicing is our practicing and keeping Christ in the center. That no matter what comes in, no matter what's blowing against our family or blowing against my soul today, Jesus Christ is not going to take second place. That's what St. Peter, but also putting him back is what brought him up. And so the Lord tells us, all things are possible. What is impossible becomes possible with God's help. Everything. If someone comes to that it's not possible to happen, then they don't understand who God is. Now, 8-9 years ago, there was a group of Catholic men who believed that they were called to start a Catholic radio station. Well, that's not possible in Cincinnati. There's no radio stations around. And even if we had the radio stations, how would we afford to buy it? Guess what? 8 years have passed. We have a radio station. Not only do we have a radio station, we bought it outright after 6 months on the air. And not only have we bought it outright, but through the generosity of Catholics who listen to it, we're able to raise $25,000 a month to keep things going. And they said it wasn't possible. Turn on 740 AM and you'll find out it's possible. Another great impossibility. How can material things bring us spiritual life? That's an impossibility. Oh, really? Then how come we receive the gifts of bread and wine, and through the words of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, that bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Ah. He brought us out on the water, and he's going to feed us. We thought it was impossible, but not for God. Because bringing into that world of faith, that life of faith, which is real life, it's not an illusion. The stuff we deal with every day, the political crap and the cultural, that's an illusion. That's a distraction. Christ is where we're really at. And if we stay that focus on it, we can recognize the stuff for what it is. A distraction. Something that's not going to destroy me. Because I'm united with Christ. And although there are crosses, there is the grace to carry that cross. And so we see Peter was asked to do the impossible, and he did it. We're asked to do the impossible sometimes. And to live as a Christian in this world, which is full of very unchristian things, seems to be impossible. It almost says we need to compromise with the world. We need to accept some of the immoral things because we just can't avoid it. That's baloney. With God, the possibility of living, of being holy, of being a saint, is alive and well in the world today. We hear it in his word, and we receive his body and blood, which is proof of the fact that he will make us a holy people if we allow him. He will pull us out on that water, and we keep our focus on him. He will lead us to places we never thought we could go. He'll help us do things we never thought we can do. And he'll love us in a way we never thought we were capable of being loved and capable of loving another. So let us give thanks to the Lord that he called Peter on the water. Let us thank him that he calls us out every day. And when he calls us out, that impossible action, let us always trust that with Christ, it's not just a possibility, it's a probability. It will happen. Christ's will be done because it's the will of the Father. And that will of the Father is rooted in our faith. A faith which says we are loved and cherished by God. Christ died for us that we can get to heaven. And God gives us everything we need to get there if we simply rely on him. If we are able to share that, then there's no problem walking on water. And there's no problem being a faithful Catholic in this world today. Because Jesus Christ is with us. And Jesus Christ is always in our vision.